My name's Polly, and I'm an alcoholic. And before we get started, I'm going to do a tradition that I've been doing at this meeting for a lot of years, or maybe not at this meeting, but whichever one I'm speaking at. And I'd like Deborah to come up. And Rena is my sponsor, and Deborah is my sponsee, and so I'm going to give Deborah her 23-year chip.
Hey, everybody, I'm Deborah. I'm an alcoholic. I want to tell you something really quick. I have an 8-year-old grandson. I know I don't look that old, but so I had to take him trick-or-treating because my daughter had the flu, and I didn't feel really well either, and so we went trick-or-treating, and we got the bag, and I said, is that enough candy, meaning can we go home now? And he looked in his bag, and he said, there's never enough candy, but this will do for now. And I thought, you know, that's the way I used to feel about alcohol, and until I heard the last speaker, I didn't really have the language to put, that's how I feel about sobriety, spirituality, and God today. There's never enough, but what I've got is enough for now. Thank you, Polly. I love you.
That's such an honor. That's just such an honor to be able to do that. My name is Polly Pistol, and I'm an alcoholic. By God's grace, in a program called Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't had a drink since April the 11th of 1977, and for that I am eternally grateful. I have a home group, and that's the West Connect group in Jacksonville, Florida. We meet on Monday night at 8 o'clock, and if you're ever in Jacksonville, Florida, just give us a call, and we'll take you to a meeting. And Dave and I are in the phone book. When you're sober, you can be in the phone book. So we're in the phone book, so if you're ever in Jacksonville, Florida, just give us a call. I have a sponsor, my sponsor has a sponsor, and I sponsor. And I'm an active member in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to thank Dick and Barbara. Thank you so much. Thank you for letting Dave and I both share this weekend. This is so amazing, and I just thank you so much. And this weekend, with people I really love, the sponsors have just been out of sight, and there are people that have been in my life for a long time, except for Terry. Terry, I just got to meet this weekend, and she's going to be at State Line next weekend. A bunch of us are going to be next weekend, and that's amazing, but these people have been in my life for a really long time. But Linda and Bob have really been in my life for a really long time. And my head is just, going like this after that talk that Bob gave. Talk about, I think, after all that spirituality, I really do believe that Bob has a disease of perception. Because he doesn't think his talks have been good of late. And all I can do is think about, I can just think of the one that he gave at the Florida State in Tampa. I mean, really, Tom, I was just with him in September and he rocked. So I don't know. Linda, you need to let him know he's got a disease of perception. He didn't hear me tell that right now. Because this is our Bob. This is Bob. And this is... he is a teacher amongst teachers, and we have a lot of those. We've had, we've had Bob and Sheldon and Mari and Larsine, I don't know if I missed anybody, but if I did, it was by accident, and it's just been on and on, and this is, the reason that these people are here and doing what they're doing is because they're 12-steppers. They're 12-steppers. They're detox goers. I have hearing aids. I don't have them on, but I have hearing aids because they make the mic sing. And I was with I was with an employee and sponsee of the person who was getting the hearing aids for me. And I saw him on Tuesday. And he had problems like Dave and I've had, financial problems and all the stuff that has happened in our lives when life's in session. And, you know, we get to reach that place where God's going to crack us open one more time. I've got a sponsee named Donna, and Donna says, God just keeps breaking your heart till it stays open. And you know, when you're in, get that broken place. And he says, yeah, a few years ago I was in that broken place, and I went to Joe and I said, you know, Joe, what am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? You know, I don't have any money. I don't have anything. And Joe looked at him and he said, go get a jail commitment. And he goes, oh, wait a minute, Joe. I'm just telling you, I got all these problems. He says, I don't know anything about those problems, but I know if you get a jail commitment, they'll get solved. So that's the kind of AA I've been brought up in. That's the kind of AA that I have had all my life. Is, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on. You know, go to detox. Go get a jail commitment. Go do something. And so, did you hear me tell you that you have a disease? I told Linda to tell you that now that you've got back here, my head is swarming all over the place. And I love you with all my heart. And I just want to tell you, you have a disease of perception, that your talks have been fabulous. Fabulous. And not just this morning. Not just this morning. I was just with you in September and you brought me to my knees. It's just, you know, I just so appreciate your humility. It's fabulous. Okay, what I want to read, I don't have any glasses, but I think I can get it out, is chapter 7, Working with Others. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. The three parts to that step. I've had a spiritual awakening. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how I carry this message to other alcoholics and how I practice these principles in all my affairs. But I just want to read page two paragraphs on page 89. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive. It didn't say work. It says intensive. Work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. And that's step, you know, for those of you who are kind of new, Bill doesn't like to use the same word twice. So that's our 12th step. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. I had a whole lot of people helping me, but nothing could help me until another alcoholic talked to me. And I can tell you today that's the same way. I can hear all kinds of things, but I can hear it from another alcoholic. And my first AA sponsor used to say, you know, you can sell somebody the truth, and if you tell it with love, they can hear you. And I've been told the truth from people who love me ever since I've been sober. And I'm grateful. And I've been told this weekend the truth from somebody who loves me. And that's what AA is all about, is being willing to tell the truth. And this is the language of the heart. This is where the heart speaks and the heart listens. And that's what it's all about. Now, I'm way different from Bob. I'm pretty simple-minded. And but I live with a man like Bob. And, I mean, a lot of times we'll be sitting at the dinner table and Dave starts talking and I'm looking at him, but I just glazed right over. I mean, he lost me, you know, and when the planets exploded. And so that's me. And I love that I have that in my life. But I'm just kind of a simple kind of gal. I'm a really back-to-basics kind of gal. That's how I sponsor. That's how I do things. I'm just a really, and I'm with you. I love, love, love the book. But I try not to get into the letter of the law as it goes, or into the letter of the book, but try to find the spirit of the message. It's I can't quote this book. I study it all the time, but I just got the kind of mind that it just won't stick in there. I can get the gist of it, but I just don't have the ability to quote it. And I used to be so ashamed of that, because somebody has been sober as long as I am should be able to get in that book. And, you know, I've got a sponsee that if I need to know something, I call her, because she knows page, paragraph, and everything. And I'm like, where is it in the book, Michael? Just tell me where it is, you know, because I'm too lazy to go look for it. Anyway, we can help when nobody else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. That's why this disease does not usually respond to the psychiatric effort. It usually does not respond. It responds the magic to one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic. Remember, they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. I mean, we get started, second paragraph, chapter 7, we got the promises coming. Life will take on new meaning. I don't know the last time you've been to a jail commitment, or the last time you've been to detox, or the last time you took a newcomer and you sat down and you started telling your story and you watched the lights come on and you knew that something was touched inside the soul. That place you talk about, Bob, that place we can't explain. It's that place that's unexplainable. And you touch that. And I don't know about you, but all the money in the world and all the orgasms in the world has never felt as good as that. Has never felt as good as that. To see that, I mean, what happens is that we are people on a regular basis who get to watch the hand of God touch another person. We get to watch that. And it's a blessing. I mean, I used to didn't get it. I used to didn't understand it. And now today, it's like, oh my God, I'm witnessing this. I get to witness that. And it is beyond anything. I experienced that on Friday. I sat with a woman on Friday, and I got to experience that. There's nothing like it. There's absolutely nothing like it. To watch people recover, that's what I just was talking about. I just lost my place. To watch people recover, to see them help others. Get somebody, start sponsoring them. And the next thing you know, they're on the telephone. Hey, I got a sponsee. I went to detox. I got a sponsee. And a lot of times, you know, somebody will come up to me after I've spoke and they'll say, you know, that, you know, their life isn't, they somehow think because we're at the podium we have some kind of magic. I promise you we don't. And they'll come up and they'll, you know, I just am not getting out of my program everything I want to get out of my program. I always have one question and only one. How many people do you sponsor? That's the question. How many people do you sponsor? Because if you're not doing that, you're probably not getting these promises. Probably not getting these promises. To watch loneliness vanish. To see them help us. To watch loneliness vanish. To see a fellowship grow up about you. To have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. That's the promise of the 12 steps, that we will always have that. And you know, there are some days that I have little readings. I read them this morning. Oh, I got to tell you about, you talked about not sleeping. Mine wasn't near so spiritual. But the thing about it is that we get to have a host of friends. We get to watch people get better. These are the things that we get to do. We get to do it. I didn't understand that. I thought if you helped, you know, you were when I first got sober, oh my God, you're going to be up all night with these drunks and you're You know, all of this stuff is going to happen, and you start reading the book, and it's, you know, and it talks about you're going to be awake a lot of hours at night, and, you know, you're going to be inconvenienced, and all of the stuff that it talks about. I'm here to tell you, it's not explainable. It's not explainable. But when you work with another alcoholic, it's beyond magic. Beyond magic. Okay, I'm going to tell you about my night. I didn't sleep either, Bob. It was very different. Now, I don't sleep really good anyway, so that's, you know, we're going to talk about that one first. I have not been blessed with the gift of sleep. It's when I stayed in Denton with Cheryl and then Nancy, her and I can sit up all night walking around, talking to each other. We don't sleep. We don't sleep. Well, last night, I woke up at 2:30. And then, you know, I'm old, so I woke up, and I need to go to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom, I flushed the toilet. Fortunately, it was just a number one, and the toilet flooded over. This is at 2:30 in the morning. So I'm crazily trying to clean up all the mess, and I come out here, and I go to the desk with, of course, shutting the door without my key. And have to explain to this lady at 2:45 in the morning that I need a key to get back in the room. And not only do I need a key, I need a plumber's helper because the toilet is plugged. And so then I get back into the room, and she believes me, and I get the plunger, and I unplug the toilet. And I want you to know that all of this activity took place with Dave sleeping and Chrissy sleeping. They never heard. And by the time I did all that, there was no going back to sleep. So I just started kind of reading my stuff that I read and just like, you know, come on. And I just sort of looked at my God as I understand him because I have conversations with God. And I said, you know, I just think I would have done a lot better if I had had some sleep today. Unless this, you know, if I could go back to sleep, and it just doesn't seem to be happening. I guess that's not what you had in mind, that I go back to sleep. But anyway, that was how I stayed up last night. Anyway, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, last night I didn't, the other thing that I am is when it comes to being given instructions, I make a pretty good sponsee because I do what I'm told to do. And when I'm told to talk 15 minutes, I talk 15 minutes. And so what I did, I didn't get to say some of the things that I wanted to say about family recovery. But, you know, I don't think I was supposed to, because now I know that what Bob is talking about, whatever is happening, is exactly what's supposed to be happening. It's everything is in perfect order. So I'm going to tell you about it, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, is I am a bad alcoholic. I did not even know another alcoholic when I came to the Rubens of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I have the disease of alcoholism really bad. And this disease took my life. I was pronounced dead on arrival. This disease took my life. This disease stole my children's safety. It stole from this. Because what happened is I am a mother who should never have had her children. Because what happened is I abused my children behind a disease called alcoholism. And I can tell you, Bob, I can hear Chuck's words. If I could have done better, I would have done better. If I could have done it, I would have done better. And what would happen is when I would see what I'd done to those kids, I was so filled with guilt, and I was so ashamed, and I was so sorry that the only thing that would make it go away is to take another drink because of what I had done to my children and how I had neglected them, how I had abused them, yelled at them, hit them, put them down, done everything. I have a son who's sober in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he just has hardly any hair. And he says it's because he had this big afro curly hair. You know, have you seen that kind of curly hair? That's what James had. And he was just one of those kids that got on your ninth nerve. And what he would do is I'd just grab a handful of that hair and I'd just start shaking it. And he says, my mother pulled all my hair out. And that was who I was. Now, I wasn't out having affairs and getting in trouble and much like that because I was like Rena. And I was a military wife, so you don't go out and show people that you're, you know, you hide it. You hide how you drink. And who saw that mostly was my sons, even more so than my husband. It was my sons that saw that. Now, that's me. When I'm drinking, that's what I do. My husband was medically retired from the Air Force, 100% disabled from the Air Force. He came back from Vietnam and he got really, really, really sick. And they know a lot more today than they knew then, so we still don't know what was exactly wrong with him, but he was 38 years old and he had congestive heart failure. And here was a man who was sick, and I was running around, you know, I wasn't running around, but I was drinking, and I ended up having a car wreck, and I'd have to get out because he was home all the time, and that's how I treated. I had my father was in a hospital in Abilene, and he was dying of colon cancer, and this is what I was doing. This is what was happening. Their only child was dying of the disease of alcoholism, and I couldn't be there for my mother, for my dad. That's what I do when I'm drinking. There's where the disease of alcoholism takes me. Now, I didn't know what I had. Now, the military had told me I was manic depressive, because I'm like you. But I've read everything I could get on Bill Wilson, because Bill Wilson had depression. And I am so happy in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and these are tears of joy, really, just because Bob cracked open a space in me this morning. I didn't expect to be cracked open. He did yesterday morning, too. He's been doing it in a habit this weekend. and a place in me. But I didn't know anything about the disease of alcoholism. I knew that I had depression, the military told me. When I got sober, I heard about Bill Wilson, and Bill Wilson had depression. So I started reading everything about what Bill Wilson said. And the message I got from everything he talked about is that what saved his life was helping another alcoholic. Now, I have been so blessed. I've had three sponsors. My first sponsor was a man named Frank Fitzpatrick. He had been a Monsignor priest and a captain in the Navy. And he saved my life. He rescued me out of a motel in Euless, Texas, where I had left a detox center and run off in detox with, you know, another person in detox, you know, sick, falls in love with sick, running off into happy destiny. And that happy destiny didn't end up being very happy. I got beat up and a lot of other things, and I got brought back into that detox center. And that man saved my life. He picked me up and carried me out of that hotel room. And he would be my first sponsor. And he taught me how to work with others. And he taught me about the disease of alcoholism that I had. And he gave me his God. And he said, Polly, I was a Catholic priest, and I did not find God in the Catholic Church. I found God in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I was raised Southern Baptist. And when I grew up in Texas, when I was a little girl, the Baptists hated the Catholics. I mean, you should have seen those preachers yelling at when John Kennedy was running for president. You know, you can't vote for him. He's a Catholic. And here was a Catholic that's going to save my life. Not just a Catholic. a Catholic priest is going to save my life. And he told me, Polly, use my God. Because I found my God in AA. And that's where you'll find yours. And he said, just believe that I believe. And that's how I took step two with him. I just believed that he believed. And I had a sponsor named Dottie. And oh my God, Dottie loved God. She loved God so much. And Dottie died on May the 4th. And at Girl Stock this year, I had met Rena. And I asked Rena to be my sponsor. I need a leader. I need somebody walking ahead of me. I have to have a leader. And I have to have somebody who's doing the deal. And I've been blessed. And they've always just been put there. I've never had to look. It's just been put there. And it happens, and you don't even know it's happening. And that's what Bob is trying to say. It just happens. We don't have to make anything happen. It just happens. I was dying of the disease of alcoholism sober because my children were trying to kill themselves. One by his own hand, well, both by their own hands, but one by trying to hurt himself and cut on himself and stab himself, and the other behind alcohol and drugs. And I was in a meeting, and I needed help. I needed help bad. And a woman walked up to me, and thank God, you know, she came up to me and she said, Polly, I need to take you to an Al-Anon meeting. And those women wrapped their arms around me. And I didn't have to take a drink and die because my children, I didn't know what to do with my children. It's always been there. It's always been there. God will always give us exactly what we need. Now, do I think that that's what he's doing a lot of the time? Absolutely not. When Dave and I lost everything, and I didn't think that he was doing, that was what was supposed to be happening. And I can tell you it was exactly what was supposed to be happening. Exactly what was supposed to be happening. And the way that's happening in my life today, I'd give anything if I had more money. I'd give anything. Just barely. But you know what? If I had more money, maybe I wouldn't do what I do. I don't know. I don't know what. All I know is that whatever's happening is just exactly what's supposed to be happening. And that I'm going to be here and I'm going to eventually know what the whole deal is. I worked those steps. I got to make amends to my daddy before he died. Worked the steps. Don't miss that opportunity. My daddy died before my first year AA birthday, but I was able to make amends because I was taught to take the steps. And we learn to take them fast in Texas. We do them fast. And it's just like you said, just do it. Just get in there and do it, because it ain't going to be the only time. You got a whole lifetime to keep doing this. And to deepen it. Did I know much about the steps when I took them? Absolutely not. I was about 7 or 8 weeks sober when, you know, he said, we're going to do the steps, when I did a fourth and fifth step. I'd done one in treatment, which was one of those Hazleton ones. I was born. And even that helped. I'm with you. All of that helps. But Frank says that's not inventory. He says that'll make a good life story, but it's not inventory. And what he did is he helped me do a four-column inventory. Did I know my character defects? Absolutely not. I knew I was a liar. I knew I was selfish and self-centered, but had no idea to what the depth was. I knew a few of those things. I knew I was dishonest. I've been lying all my life. I started lying when I was a little girl, when I told everybody I had dead twin brothers, because I didn't want anybody to think I was an only child. I didn't want anybody to think that, because only children, they would always say, well, you're an only child, you're spoiled. And I said, oh no, I have dead twin brothers. So, you know, I lied. And I'm telling you, I can do it today with just, I will tell that I lied, but it'll come out, and I can do it with the greatest of ease. Is that sociopathy? I think that is. Who knows? But I couldn't agree with you more. about we can look like any mental illness. And he was talking about talking to ourselves. I'll go into a store and I'll look at something and I'll start talking to myself and somebody say, oh, were you speaking to me? Because I have a loud voice even when I'm whispering. And I am talking to myself. I'm 37 years sober and I'm doing that. And what happened was in that process is in those amends, I got to make amends to those boys. And I wouldn't take anything to having made amends to those boys. Because that relationship today is beyond my greatest expectation. And my youngest son, who's in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I can't believe that I'm blessed enough to have done what I did as a mother. But to have the depth of forgiveness that I have from my kids, the absolute depth. And my son calls me every day. He's already called me this morning, and I didn't call him back because I didn't get the message till too late. But I listened to him, and he says, I just wanted to know how you did last night, and I just want to tell you I'm praying about you. I'm praying for you this morning. And where do you get those kind of relationships? Where do you get those kind of relationships? When you've done that kind of damage. It happens in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was listening to a sponsee last night talk about some horrific things that have happened in her life. And she says, but I forgive them. I forgive them. Sandy, I was sitting in Cocoa Beach. It was just weeks after his daughter had been murdered. And he talked about how he forgave the person who murdered his daughter. That depth of forgiveness. My son says that about the spiritual awakening. He said when it was time for him, James is going to be 31 years sober in January, so next month he'll be 31 years sober. And he said, I knew AA worked because I watched and saw the transformation in my mother. We transform here. We are not the same people. I am not that person. I have 5 grandchildren, and I would not even think of striking one of those kids. Wouldn't even think of doing it. Yet I did it on a regular basis to my own kids. Spiritual awakening. And we keep having them. And you said it all. We keep coming to these things because what happens for most of us is we're standing up here talking, we're preaching to the choir. Because people are here because they just want to hear the message. It's like why we go to church or we go to synagogue or wherever we go is we want to hear the message. We want to keep hearing the message. And that's what I want to do, is I want to keep hearing the message. So I keep coming back. I do a lot of meetings. I get to sponsor a lot of women. I had to carry the message. I had to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. Last night, there was a few people here talk about ego. Ego is there. It's there, and you know, and I like the way you put it. I need it to be my partner instead of my enemy, because it's always going to be there. And I didn't know I was going to be on that panel last night until Thursday night when Dave told me that it was on that night. I said, oh my God. And all I could think about is I can't be on a panel with Clancy and Bob. You know, I can't. I mean, it was always 3 wise men, and you know what? How I feel about today, any of us could be on that panel last night. Any of us could be on that panel last night, and it was only my ego that had me in self-centered fear. It was only my ego. That was what was paralyzing me. And I was so scared. I was going to dinner with friends in the car, and I was so scared I couldn't even eat. I'm calling Barbara and Dick. Well, what am I going to say? What's it going to be about? Come on, Polly. What does the book say? Share your experience, strength, and hope. Tell them what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. It's not hard. That's all there is to it. And not a big deal. And this isn't a performance. It's not. It's not a performance. This is the language of the heart. Dr. Bob taught us that. This is where the heart speaks and the heart listens. That's what this is. I have the privilege of sponsoring women. I don't have a clue what I do for them. I don't have a clue. But I can tell you, they save my life every single day. Because if they didn't call me on the phone, and if I didn't have the opportunity to work with those women, I would be sitting somewhere dying with depression. Absolutely dying with the disease of depression as well. But I have found what works for me. I don't know what'll work for you. But as long as I'm helping another alcoholic, I'm not thinking about myself. And I'm not a psychologist, I'm not any of that stuff, but one of the things I know for me is that depression is the most self-centered disease there is. Because what happens when I'm depressed, I am not thinking of anybody but myself. And my AA sponsor, Dottie, used to say, Polly, it's not necessary that you think well of yourself. It's just you think only of yourself. Because I don't often think well of myself. We were all talking about that last night. You know, I look in the mirror and I'm wrinkled and all this kind of stuff and I'm old. And, you know, it scares me to death because inside I'm just, you know, I'm still 35. And I look at the mirror and that's not what it says. And I'll go get a picture and I'll see myself when I was younger, and I'll think, oh my God, she was so pretty. And I didn't think so. I didn't think she was pretty. She was really ugly. And I was always down on myself. Just that self-centered fear, that self-centered hatred, that self-centered. But when I'm doing work with you, I'm out of me. Because when I'm talking about you, I'm not talking about me. I've had a jail commitment. I don't have a jail commitment in Jacksonville right now, so I can't say that. I haven't had a jail commitment in 3 years. I've had a jail commitment since I was brand new sober. And I don't know if you've seen somebody brand new sober, and I worked with prison girls. It was a minimum security prison, and we could take them out. And I took them to the Green Oaks, which was where they were having the Texas State Convention. And Sandy Beach was speaking. And that was in 1978 that he was speaking in Fort Worth, Texas. And I brought these girls from the prison, this minimum security prison, the Federal Correctional Institute, we called it FCI, and I brought them to the Green Oaks to hear that conference, and I was told if I lose sight of them that I have to call the federal marshals. And I'm here to tell you, when I got there, those gals had dudes all over the place. I had three of them, and as soon as I parked that car, they split. I had no idea where they are. And guess what starts happening? I got to go call the federal marshals. So now here we are at the Texas State AA convention. Lights are going everywhere. That's what I do at 6 months of sobriety with some. But you know what? I didn't stop going, and I've been doing it ever since. Dave and I used to go into detox in Bellingham. We used to go down there, and this girl, one day, we were sitting there in detox, and this gal said, well, I'll have to sleep in my car, I'm going to have to do this, because I can't get a bed in treatment to such and such. And Dave says, why don't you just come to AA, and you won't even need that bed. Just come on and go to AA. And you know, if you go to AA, my guess is that you'll come with me, you'll probably have a place to sleep tonight, and it won't be your car. And that's what, you know, that's what we do. There's all kinds of service in AA, and you'll find your niche. I believe that everybody finds their niche in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have found my niche. I do not serve above the group level. Now, my husband and my son love to serve at the area level. I don't have the personality for it. I just don't have the personality for it. They get up that mic, and you sit in there, and you know, Dave Aronofsky used to say the mind can only absorb as much as the butt can endure, and they'll sit there for 5 hours with that microphone and say the same thing over and over and over. And one time I was there, and I didn't do it, but it took everything I had, and they were talking about buying coffee pots. And I wanted to get up and scream, "Shut up! I'll buy the coffee pots for you. I don't want to hear about it anymore." So I don't have the personality for it. But you know what? I also know that if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have AA. So we have to have servants in that area. We have to have servants that can serve at that level. I'm a great person to serve at the group level. I have to have a job at my home group. I'm the literature girl now. I'm the literature girl. I've been the cake girl. But I have to have a job at my home group because I have to be a part of it. I have to vote in Alcoholics Anonymous. My vote counts. We make the rules. It's a crazy organization. We make the rules, and we give it to the folks that take it to GSO. We make the rules. I have a voice. It's like I tell my girls, if you don't vote, don't complain. And that goes in all things, any kind of election, whatever it is. If you don't vote, don't complain. You don't have a voice if you don't vote. Don't complain. Everybody has a niche in Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's nothing that's going to make you feel better. In my opinion, it makes me feel better than to serve. To serve is what makes me... It doesn't seem like it will at all. Wednesday night, we were coming here Thursday morning. Wednesday night, they have the thing that we do in... I guess it's all over Florida, but it's certainly in Jacksonville and the surrounding areas, that they have what's called speaker step studies. And it's not like we did it in Texas, where you did it for 4 weeks, how we did it in Texas. It's not like that. You do it for 10 weeks. Yeah, Nancy. 10 weeks. And so Dave had it first in Fernandina, which is like about an hour, a little over an hour from where we live, and on Wednesday night. And Dave did it for 10 weeks, and now I'm doing it for 10 weeks. And it's Wednesday night. We were leaving Thursday. I would have rather taken a beating than go to that meeting Wednesday night. But I'm one of these kind of gals that, and that's why I say get commitments. I'm going to talk about that. If you got a commitment, you say you're going to do it, do it. I don't know if it was Bob that said it last night. You know, say what you mean. If you got something, do it. If you say you're going to show up, show up. Say what you mean. Do it. Follow through. Do it. And I went. And you know, when I left that meeting, I was on fire. I was absolutely on fire. We were talking about 6 and 7. And you're right. Today I have a whole different idea about 6 and 7. I mean, it's a way different than it was when I first came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have a lot to say on 6 and 7. I mean, I got a big list of character defects, and it's not about just being dishonest and selfish and self-seeking and afraid. I mean, we got a whole big list of them that we can talk about. And what I do fifth steps with my sponsees, I'm writing down character defects. And if they haven't figured them out, I don't have any problem telling about them. You don't know you got it? I'll let you know you have it. So I was on fire. That's what happens. When I come in here with you, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. Something happens. That flame. I love what Bob says. Connect it to the juice. We come in here and we're connected to the juice. It puts me on fire. It takes me, no matter how I'm feeling, whether I'm tired, whether I haven't slept, whatever, I come in here and I'm on fire with Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't know what it is. It's just you. It's just you. I can't imagine not being able to go to meetings. I get in there and I walk into a meeting and something happens. And you know, I used to hear, and they say it in AA too, whether two or more are gathered, God is in the midst. And I grew up with that saying too. That's why that's how they tried to get us to Sunday school and to church. You know, you can get it better if you come join us. If you come get in here with us. And that's a deal. I come get in here with you and I get fired. It lights my fire. And it allows me to hear things I would not ordinarily hear. Then the third part of this step is that I practice these principles in all my affairs. I can come in here and I'm really good. I'm good in AA. I'm really good in here. I'm good in AA. I can be really not so good, and I've got some witnesses. Dave's here and Tom's here. I can have a fit in a business meeting. And I don't know if any of you guys can have a fit in a business meeting, but I can have a fit in a business meeting. Because I'm still a self-centered alcoholic and I want it my way. And sometimes it doesn't go my way. But I practice these principles in all my affairs. And if my behavior, when I've lost control of that behavior, because my life is still unmanageable, I'm still powerless over alcohol and my life can be unmanageable and I can do things that make me ashamed of my behavior. And I'm an old lady. And I can still do things that make me very ashamed of my behavior. And I need to still be willing to step up to the plate and make amends, no matter what. And practice that 10th step. I call that 10th step the 24/7 step. You know, it says we make amends immediately. Don't wait to go lay down. The lay down at night is in case you miss something. Do it right then. Do it right then. Make those amends right then. I used to drive an LA freeway. And it is not fun. But you know what? Those of you who live in Atlanta, I think you know what it's like. That's an LA freeway. I live 27 miles from work, and it took me an hour and a half to make that drive. If I left at 6 a.m., it took me an hour and a half to make that drive. And I'm telling you, first of all, in LA, I don't know if they do this in Atlanta, but motorcycles can split the lanes. So their cars are parked, and here comes flying down the middle a motorcycle. I'm telling you, it will scare the bejesus out of you. And you have got to be so careful if you decide you want to change lanes. Because they're not just coming, they're coming. And that was always terrifying for me, that they were allowed to do that. And then, if you're trying to, you know, people think maybe you're cutting them off or you're trying to get around. The next thing you know, you got the bird. You know, the bird, they're shooting you the finger. And what I do when they shoot me the finger, I wave at them and smile. Hi. And it's amazing. They start laughing and I start laughing. And one of the things that I've learned here, because that's who I was, is I've learned not to meet aggression with aggression. And Dave and I practice that in our relationship. Don't meet aggression with aggression. I love being sober. I love having the opportunity to be of service in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love being married in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love it. I love sharing this program with another member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love that. I love to be able to meet with friends. I love that. I love to be able to do the things I get to do. I am so grateful and I am so honored that I get to be here this weekend and that I'm allowed to share with you. And I am so honored that I have been given the gift of sobriety. But what I got, a great, big, huge, we are saying amazing grace. I know we're all here by God's grace. We sit here by grace, and it's a gift unearned. And one of the biggest gifts that I got, and I had no idea that it was a gift, was the gift of desperation. Because it was bad enough, and I was sick enough, that I was willing to hear what you say and do what you say. And because of that, I have been given the keys to the kingdom. Thank you.